In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's morning mass on First Saturday is offered for the holy souls in purgatory, for the family of Charles and Gloria Maruch, and for Marie and Louis Romero, the repose of their souls. It's good that we're here. It's good to see you here this morning as well. One thing of question. Is this the moment where I'm supposed to give you the 15-minute meditation on Our Lady, or are we doing it at a different time?
That's after we pray the rosary. It's a silent meditation.
Silent meditation. Excellent. Excellent. So I didn't have to prepare anything. All the better for me. All the better for me. Good. Excellent. It was a long night and a short morning. Short morning to prepare everything for you all this day. So here within our scriptures, what do we find? We're on this first Friday of first Saturday of reparation to the Immaculate Heart of our Mother Mary. And so given this, given what Our Lady has done for us and what you and I are to interact with in this particular time today, what do we see here? I foreshadowed it yesterday, didn't I, in the sermon? In the sermon, we spoke about what? That our Lord Jesus was to come here today, and then he was to be rejected by those who are around him speaking the truth. There are many who no longer wished to journey with him any longer. What do you think this did to our Lord's heart? That here he is expounding the one thing that he was going to give them as a gift of his very self in order that he might remain with those who he would change and transform through his sacred mystery of his passion and his death. And so he says to them, everything that I've spoken to you about the scriptures, everything that I spoke to you about the Eucharist, everything that I've mentioned about myself, does this shock you? Now, what do you think was going through our Lord when he said, does this shock you? Is he God? Does he not know the hearts of all? Does not the very next couple of verses say that he does that? He knew from the beginning who would accept him and who would reject him, especially the one who would betray him. So he's speaking rhetorically here. He knows this absolutely shocks them. He knows the law. He knows that you're not allowed to drink blood of any kind, much less human blood. He knows that you can't eat human flesh in any way. Even nature itself says that, which is why you see animals very rarely is a strange case where even a beast will consume, a carnivore will consume the flesh of its own species. And yet, he says, does this shock you? Does this shock you? What if I were to say something that would be even more marvelous in your own eyes? If I were to raise up right now, would that shock you even more? What would happen to you at that moment? He's foreshadowing his own ascension. It reminds you that the spirit is the only thing that gives life, and the flesh is of no avail. Reminding you, stop thinking in human terms, merely human terms, merely about the way that the flesh seems to perceive things, because the flesh is of no avail. The spirit is the only thing which endures unto eternal life. We spoke about it, we mentioned it yesterday, and we mentioned it as well in the conference on the first day about the resurrection of the body. It will be raised up, but only after it passes into some form of corruption. And so, he's reminding to go beyond these very ways. So many people left him and no longer followed him, just as you see so many people no longer follow the Lord after we have that reality of the Eucharistic reality saying, I don't believe that he's really there. In fact, if you ask anyone who's left the Catholic faith, go to any one of your family members who no longer practice the faith, you'll find two things, one of two things, and both the two things are actually present. Find one, that they do not believe in the Eucharistic reality. They don't. And what helped them to no longer believe in the Eucharistic reality? We're not going to talk about the abuses that go on during the Mass or the lack of reverence with which it is celebrated or any of those things. Leave those things aside. But what really is going on in those times is what? That they've received our Lord consistently in a state of mortal sin. The saints teach us this. They say that there's no quicker way to lose the faith, no quicker way to fall into the heresy of abandoning Christ than to receive our Lord unworthily in the Blessed Sacrament. To commit those sort of blasphemies against our Lord, to commit those sacrileges against his most sacred flesh. And well, that's why it's for you and me to make sure that anytime we fall into anything which is grave sin, anytime we fall into a sixth commandment sin, anytime we miss Mass without grave excuse, no matter what the mortal sin is, anytime we betray another person's secrets gravely, anytime we go and gossip about another person and ruin their character, that is murder, by the way. That's not a lie. That's not bearing false witness, because it could indeed be very true. But it is murder to destroy the conscience of another, destroy their good name. And so when we do so, we make ourselves unworthy of the body and blood and have to seek that reconciliation which our Lord offers you and me. Whenever it comes to a moment where you feel like I really want to go and receive, but I'm not in a state of grace, make that an opportunity for you to remain in your place. Remain in your place and do not taste the sacred bread of Christ, the bread of angels, but rather run to the confessional. I'm going to tell you something that most priests probably don't want you to know. It's a secret. Think you can keep the secret? I don't want you to keep the secret. I don't want you to keep the secret. I want you to spread it far and wide. Here's the secret that most priests don't want you to know. Many priests, I should say, don't want you to know. Is that a priest can never tell anybody no if they wish to receive any sacrament. Is that shocking to you? To quote the Lord, is that shocking to you? A priest can never tell you no if you ever wish to receive a sacrament. Ever. He can only tell you, not right now, but soon. You're not ready yet. Let me help you get ready to receive that sacrament. Let me prepare you to it. I have something that I have to do right now. But as soon as I'm available, I can make sure that you can receive that sacrament. Priests are bound because a priest is not his own, as the great sainted archbishop of our time, Fulton Sheen, said, a priest is not his own and wrote an entire work upon it. A priest is not his own. And so anytime you desire to receive confession, even if you've come to Mass, you can ask the priest. He can tell you, no, I actually got to go celebrate Mass right now, so I can't hear your confession now. But soon afterwards, we'll find an opportunity for you. And then you say, but I'd really like to receive Holy Communion today too. And then there you go. He needs to provide some way to be able to give you Holy Communion in that moment. Take advantage of that. We remind our parishioners there in Santa Rosa of this frequently, that that is their right. And many, particularly of our young people in confirmation and many others, take advantage of that as well, to be able to receive confession. The young men saying, I'm serving Mass, but I need to go to confession. Everybody out of the sacristy. Quick confession. We restore them to grace and then allow them to be able to receive. That is the providence of what our Lord provides for you and I during this time, to make sure that we're able to receive our Lord worthily in this. Today, to make this communion of reparation. You're here. We're on a first Saturday. We're going to talk about it after this Mass, what it means to really make those Saturdays of reparation. What are the five reasons why in which we live out that reparation? What are we making reparation for? We're going to go through all that in just a moment. But the intention of your receiving Holy Communion today to fulfill what Our Lady asks for is to make sure that when you receive Holy Communion today, if you're able to receive Holy Communion today, is to make sure that you're offering it in reparation for all the blasphemies against Our Lady's Most Immaculate Heart. To see that you're making some sort of return for her, offering her a consolation in the ways in which she's grieved, not because she's hurt by the blasphemies that are offered against her, but because she knows what those blasphemies offered against her do in the souls who offer them, and how they contribute to the degradation of the entirety of the world by having them spread those errors and those lies, which lessen faith and make it all the harder for souls to enter into the beatitude which the Mother of God desires all souls to enter. Ask Our Lady during the rest of this Mass to prepare your heart to really give her a consolation in this Holy Communion, to offer that Holy Communion to her, that you might be made worthy of receiving this, maybe your first Saturday in the right way. We'll speak about how that happens in the conference which is to follow. But put your trust in Him. Our Lord says, will you too leave me? Are you also going to go? And the movement of your heart is to go beyond where your flesh has no avail, and to speak only from the Spirit, just as St. Peter did. And to say, Master, to whom else could we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life. We believe. And we are fully convinced that you are indeed the Holy One of God, made Eucharist for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.